And we're on time. Okay. Mrs. Clark, can you call us to order?
This regular meeting of the mayor and council of the borough of Atlantic Harlingen is called pursuant to the provisions of the Open Public Meetings Law. Adequate notice has been provided by transmitting the resolution of annual meetings to the Asbury Park Press and the Two River Times, by posting it in Borough Hall on the bulletin board reserved for such announcements, and by filing it with the municipal clerk on January 2nd, 2025. This agenda is complete to the extent known, and formal action will be taken.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Colasetto.
I'm here.
Mr. Crowley. Mrs. Cusick.
Here.
Mr. Dougherty.
Here.
Ms. Forbes.
Here.
Mr. Pujols.
Yeah.
Mayor Hohenleitner.
Here. So the computer audio needs to be turned off. The computer audio, I think. We're good now? Yep. What's that? All right. I'll trust you. I'm sure Jacob Huger will text me if it's not working. We're about to do a silent reflection and pledge of allegiance. So I'm going to read a proclamation after we do that, but I am going to be thinking of she was commissioner director four times, I believe, but Lillian Burry in my silent reflection, and also these babies in Minnesota, more gun violence. They just don't learn. So I ask you to join me in a moment of reflection, and then we'll do the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. At my very first council meeting as mayor, we honored the recently retired County Commissioner Lillian Burry. And I would like to read a proclamation today honoring the life and legacy of Commissioner Director Lillian G. Burry. Whereas the Borough of Atlantic Highlands recognizes the life and extraordinary legacy of Commissioner Lillian G. Burry, a dedicated public servant and community leader, and advocate who passed away on August 28, 2025 at the age of 89, and whereas born in New York City, Lillian G. Burry graduated cum laude from Wagner College with a degree in political science and history, and began her lifelong commitment to public service as a councilwoman in Mattawan, later serving as committee woman, deputy mayor, and mayor of Colts Neck. And whereas in 2005, she was elected to the Monmouth County Board of Chosen Three Freeholders, later known as the Board of County Commissioners, serving multiple terms and making history as the first woman director in 2008, with additional terms in 2010, 2014, and 2017. And whereas Commissioner Burry led efforts in open space preservation, historic conservation, economic development, and veterans advocacy, including the preservation of the Montrose Schoolhouse, the revitalization of Fort Monmouth, and the creation of housing for homeless veterans, culminating in the dedication of Veterans Community Wing in her name in 2023. And that schoolhouse was unique because it was the only one-room schoolhouse there. And whereas her outstanding service earned her numerous awards, including the Marine Corps League Distinguished Citizen Award, Count Basie Vanguard Award, New Jersey Women of Achievement Award, M. Claire French Award for Historic Preservation, and recognition from organizations such as the Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, and Brookdale Community College, and there's a million more. And whereas, in addition to her public service, she was the lifelong owner and broker of Colts Neck Realty, and a devoted wife to Donald, mother and grandmother, whose legacy will continue to inspire future generations. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that I, Lori Hohenleitner, mayor of the Borough of Atlantic Highlands, together with the governing body, do hereby honor and celebrate the life of Commissioner Lillian G. Burry and express our deep appreciation for her decades of leadership, advocacy, and service to the people of Monmouth County and beyond. Thank you. And Lillian's daughter is Allison's neighbor, so she spent a lot of time in Atlantic Highlands. Okay, now I need a motion and a second to approve the previous meeting minutes from August 18th.
Cusick, so moves.
A second.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Colasetto.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Mr. Crowley. Meeting minutes.
Is he okay?
Blink twice.
Just raise your hand if you're okay with it.
John, we can say, just give a thumbs up if you approve the meeting minutes. All right. We don't, yeah, keep going.
Mrs. Cusack?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Ford?
Abstain.
Mr. Pujos?
Yes.
The minutes have passed.
Great. Okay. And now we're going to recognize the Atlantic Highlands Sailing Education Program's successful summer. So can I hear about it, please?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We brought it up at the last meeting. Thank you, Mayor. My pleasure to go over the statistics and stats for the Atlantic Highlands Sailing Education Program. The Atlantic Highlands Sailing Education Program, ASAP, our nonprofit community-based junior sailing organization, celebrated standout performances from its junior sailors at the Junior Sweepstakes Regatta held August 4th through August 7th. Also known as Junior Sweeps, the four-day event drew 50 junior sailors from across Monmouth County and was hosted by Shrewsbury Sailing and Yacht Club and Monmouth Boat Club. The regatta alternates annually between the two clubs, with races held on both the Shrewsbury and Narragansett Rivers. Participating clubs included Monmouth Boat Club, Shrewsbury River Yacht Club, Atlantic Highlands Yacht Club, Keyport Yacht Club, Rumson Yacht Club, and Fairhaven Sailing Club. This year, 14 ASAP sailors competed with 6 first-year racers in the Opti Green Fleet, 2 in the Opti Red, White, and Blue Fleet, 2 laser sailors, and 2 crew of 2 skipper and trimmer in the Club 420 Fleet. Each day featured 2 to 3 races at each club, and ASAP sailors consistently battled their way to the top spots. Conditions range from light and variable on Monday, and SSYC testing the patience of even the most eager racers to breezy, challenging 10 to 15 knot winds on Wednesday at NBC, which pushed both the smaller sailors and the more experienced fleets to their limits. ASAP delivered an impressive showing across all fleets. Opti Green Fleet, 14 boats and 10 races scored. Miles Herman took first overall. I think I witnessed that, right? That was pretty cool.
Good job, bud.
Followed by, closely by Cooper Metzger in second overall. I witnessed that as well. Rise, forgive me if I say the name wrong, Yard Yanarelli, Grady Netchell, and Bodie Perini secured 5th, 6th, and 7th overall, respectively. Alex Christie battled through the equipment malfunction and a knock from his boom at the star sequences to finish strong in 13th overall, cheered on by the promises of delicious Jersey Mike sandwiches back on the shore on the participating clubs. ASAP had the most winning races overall in the entire Green Fleet. Opti Red, White, and Blue Fleets, 9 boats, 10 races were scored. Danny Weber placed 5th overall in the highly competitive intermediate Opti Fleet. Caroline Charleston, who began the regatta in the Opti White Fleet at SSYC, made an exciting switch mid-event to a laser, and her first time racing in the class came first overall in 5 races at NBC. Also in the laser fleet, Aiden Inglis, I hope I said that right, joined Charleston, finishing close behind with an impressive 3rd overall, marking the first year in recent memory that ASAP field sailors in every fleet, including lasers. Club 420 Fleet, which is 13 boats, Team Deegan and Victoria Klein 5th overall, notching multiple first place finishes at SSYC while mastering the spinnaker and trapeze in breezy conditions. Newcomers James and Jack embraced the challenge of their first regatta in the 420 Fleet, finishing 12th overall and gaining invaluable experience. The week highlighted ASAP's growth, spirit, and skill, with sailors not only competing but excelling across every fleet, making their mark on one of Monmouth County's premier junior sailing events. We are extremely proud of our racers and thank the community of Atlantic Highlands Yacht Club for their continued support. And this was reported by, I hope I say her name correctly, Kate Gucci.
Yep.
All right.
Cool. Nice. Congratulations. All right.
We have our winners here present today with us at Indiana.
We're going to bring them up. I went sailing, race sailing once, and I learned what being brown meat really means. That was also a spinnaker vote, which is why I said wow, because our spinnaker got wet. So like everything, so this year I was on the committee vote, but I look forward to watching you guys race next year. So come on up here, I have something for you.
Oh, nice. I was wondering, hold up all your races.
Right here.
Oops, over here.
Hey, there, buddy.
So I have a fun fact for you. Come on. What's your address? Wait, you don't say it. I used to live in the same house as you. This is you. Okay, you ready? So this is a gavel. I can make up this for you. Plus a stress buster. Look at all these nuts, these ribbons. So what's your favorite thing about us up this summer?
Probably the last day at NBC was really good for me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Tell me why.
Because I got first place in all three races, which is the most I've done in one day.
Uh-huh.
And then it was also pretty dusty and windy, which I like, and I was going really fast.
Cool. And what was your best memory of the summer?
Well, the fact that the kids did so well, and I was down on the beach one day, it was really windy, and it was actually too windy to go out, and the one of the members of ASAP were at Keyport, because we had some extras there, and the little girl came over, and she's like, I just want to go sailing. The sails were with it.
Catching on.
Yeah, so that was really inspired.
Great. Well, we love having that program here in Atlantic Highlands, and as Mr. Lanzar's reminding us regularly that that space down in the harbors for recreation, you make great use of it. So thank you very much. Congratulations. And you guys can stay for the rest of the day, or you can go. Have a nice family dinner.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
That's for your
So I'm a huge fan of the Atlantic Highlands Arts Council, and I own some pieces. Actually, there's two artists in the room that I own. Pieces from one of them has been honored in the past. I think another person on the dais up here also owns art by our current artist of the month, Denise Mum. So, Denise, you can see Denise's art right now. It's in you're an exhibit at the Yacht Club, and there's pieces at the Arts Council almost all the time, but her art, she's going to show us some of it, but I also would love for you to share with us a little bit of your philosophy. So come on up.
Oh, sure.
Brian.
I probably should give you a gavel, you might get jealous.
No, we're wearing the same necklace.
Oh,
we both shop local.
Get a painting in there.
Yeah.
Where should I
pick on? Do you want me to talk about these?
Yeah,
a little bit. I brought two paintings that were directly inspired by living in Atlantic Highlands. We moved here in 2017. This is the most recent one. This is a portraying New Jersey visitors and residents in the water. And then one of my very favorite, my personal photographer.
Good, great job.
And then this one is the boatyard here. I love boatyards. I just think there's so many beautiful subjects. There's lots of geometry and kind of faded colors, and I just think they're beautiful. So I've painted boatyards a lot, but I particularly got inspired by the one here.
Can you talk a little bit about your oysters?
Oh yeah, everybody in town knows me for oysters. Lori owns some pieces about them, and when they go eat oysters, they think of me, which is the biggest compliment. I'm fascinated by oysters and what they can do. Little little creatures that can clean 50 gallons of water a day. It's amazing. And then I love to eat them too. we go and eat them. We will have a dozen and we'll do a beauty contest at the end and pick out the prettiest one. It was my pocketbook. And then I take it home and do a portrait. And it's, I just love all the little geography on the shelf. And I've done many of them. They're a little meditation for me to paint an oyster shell.
So you were nominated by Robert O'Connor as Art Artist of the Month, which, and you'll have the honor of honoring September's, which is going to be at the next meeting, because this is the August one. But we're just so glad that we have you here in town, and just your art lightens up. Anytime I see you, I already know you right away. So it's you have just such a special style. So.
And what a town to cherish the arts and to honor artists. Wow!
That doesn't happen every year. Well, Rick, I think we're going to move on to some public art, but we'll talk about that.
Do you want to put them on?
Yep. Okay. And now I'm going to ask Councilmember Calasardo to read a proclamation honoring or recognizing Prostate Awareness Month.
A little bit different than the celebrations that we just had.
Hey, you know.
Whereas this year, approximately 313,780 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in the United States alone, one man every 2 minutes, and roughly 35,770 will die this year from the disease. And whereas in New Jersey, an estimated 9,860 new cases of prostate cancer will be diagnosed and an estimated 740 deaths will occur in 2025. And whereas men with relatives, father, brother, son with a history of prostate cancer are twice as likely to develop the disease. And whereas prostate cancer is the most commonly diagnosed cancer in American men and the third leading cause of cancer death behind lung and colon cancer. And whereas 1 in 8 men are diagnosed with prostate cancer in their lifetime, and 1 in 6 African-American men will develop prostate cancer in their lifetime. Overall, African-American men are 1.7 times more likely to be diagnosed with and 2.1 times more likely to die from prostate cancer than white men. And whereas veterans who were exposed to herbicides like Agent Orange are at increased risk for developing prostate cancer and are more likely to have an aggressive form of the disease. And whereas education regarding prostate cancer and early detection strategies is critical to saving lives, preserving and protecting our families, as well as the economic and social burden of prostate cancer is huge on families. And whereas if caught early, prostate cancer has a 5-year survival rate of nearly 100%. However, for late stage prostate cancer, the 5-year survival rate is 31%. And whereas many more men will be diagnosed in 2025 at a later stage because of delayed screenings and treatment due to COVID-19. And whereas all men are at risk for prostate cancer, and we encourage the citizens of Atlantic Islands to increase the importance of prostate awareness and screenings. Now, therefore, be it resolved, I, Lori Hohenleitner, do proclaim the month of September 2025 to be Prostate Cancer Awareness Month in Atlantic Islands.
I mean, they have the same features.
Yeah, it's the same complexion. Same SPF.
Thank you. Okay. We do have some unfinished business, and I'd like to ask for a motion and a second to adopt Ordinance 11-2025. Then I'll move to comments up here and comments in the public.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second that.
Okay. Is there any public comment on this proposed ordinance? Is there any board discussion? Anybody's hand online?
No hands raised.
Okay, roll call, please.
Mr. Calasardo?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
He said yes.
I said yes. Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Forbes?
Yes.
Mr. Pujols?
Yes.
Ordinance 11-2025 has passed.
Wonderful. There is no workshop tonight. So now we'll go to public comments. This is on consent and regular agenda items. Do I have anyone in the public wishing to make a comment about consent or regular agenda items? All right. May I have a motion and a second to adopt the consent agenda?
Forbes moves.
I second.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Colasetto?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley? Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
John said yes, by the way.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Forbes?
Yes.
Mr. Pujols?
Yes.
Items on the consent agenda have passed.
Mr. Crowley, I know you're not feeling well, and we have no more items to vote on this evening. If you do want to sign off at any time, I understand.
Cusack and Dougherty will give our shared reports a little bit later this evening. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Feel better.
Feel better, John.
Good. Sorry, John.
No bueno.
Okay, we're going to start with Mr. Romeyer for his report.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. Good evening, everyone. Two quick updates. On August 19th, I attended a site meeting at 22 Laurie Road with Monmouth County reps with regards to some issues expressed by one of our residents regarding drainage. My understanding is the county determined there's really no jurisdiction for them in this instance, not fronting on a county road, no county drainage infrastructure on site, so no county response or involvement going forward. And our position here at the borough remains the same and consistent that it's a private property matter at this point. September 2nd, yesterday, Mr. Ferengina, Mr. Phillips, and I attended the Monmouth County 2025 countywide paving program pre-construction meeting. The county has kicked off their project for resurfacing county roadways throughout the entire county. A portion of the project includes Ocean Boulevard in Atlantic Highlands. This is approximately a 1.7-mile stretch from First Ave to Prospect. The contractor for the county indicated some minor drainage work will commence within the next 2 weeks, followed by some minor concrete improvement work, and they're anticipating doing a mill and overlay of the project limits towards the end of October. If there's any updates to the schedule that are conveyed to myself or Mr. Ferengina, we can share them with everybody as well.
Wonderful. Thank you. And thank you for spending time with me this month talking about our roads. I did my homework, and I'll have a report for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Welcome back, Ms. Schaefer.
Mayor, I have just a couple of things. I was a slow month, August, but Mr. Ferengina and I have been working to deal with that Route 36 issue involving the Memorial Park and the lighting, and we were not getting a response from Jersey Central Power and Light, so I went back to DOT, and they are going to reach out and make a demand that the site continue to be appropriately lit, but that the lights that are coming there get moved. Also, Falad, which is the only open litigation in which I'm involved, is on appeal, and I'm going to argue the case on the 24th of this month. And just for those who may not remember, if somebody was looking to circumvent the rescission of the tax abatement that they received, and so they're trying to get what they couldn't get legally in some circuitous manner, and I expect to be successful, but I'll be arguing on behalf of the Atlantic Islands on the 24th.
Thank you. Good luck.
You could stream that, I believe.
Yeah, I think
if you want to watch,
oh boy.
Your borough mayor, go to njcourts.gov and you can stream it.
Let's good do that.
Thanks.
All right, Mr. Ferengina.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a couple of quick items here. On August 28th, the borough received President Trump's proclamation to lower U.S. flags to half-staff through sunset on August 31st. This resulted from the senseless acts of violence perpetrated on August 27th, 2025 in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The borough complied with the presidential proclamation. Borough Hall offices will be closed Thursday, September 11th in observance of Patriot Day. On that same day, Thursday, September 11th, the Monmouth County Board of Commissioners will be holding their annual 9/11 memorial ceremony at 8 a.m. at Mount Mitchell Scenic Overlook in Atlantic Islands. And last but not least, Mayor, the next Borough Council meeting will take place on Monday, September 15th at 7 p.m. here at Borough Hall. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Okay, reports of council, Mr. Colasurdo.
Okay. All right. I'll do the easy ones. I have no report on fire. I have no report for the Chamber of Commerce. With respect to Shade Tree, we continue to work on the process regarding permits for tree removal. We're continuing to modify the application to see what would work best for the town in terms of a process and the requirements that would go into the permit. I think it's important to know that you need a permit to remove a tree in Atlantic Highlands. And there are certain things that are required. For instance, we want pictures of the tree to make sure that we're not removing healthy trees and so on and so forth, or the location of the tree. There's issues that go along with just removing a tree from your property. And to get more information on that, the information is on the borough website. So we're just working on that process. We're also planning for the fall planting, so we should have more information with respect to that, I would say, for next meeting in September. And then on to Harbor, very active Harbor meeting yesterday. With respect to the finances, we are down 3% on direct revenues, and we're down 8% overall with respect to the Harbor. The three main drivers of the decrease in revenue is that there was one tenant behind in the rent who's recently evicted, and we'll get to that a little bit more. Weather, and there's been a drop in fuel price. And so that's been the drivers of why the budget, the Harbor is down a little bit in terms of their economics. As reported last meeting, the tenant of the Shore Casino was evicted. The Harbor is working on an RFP that they hope to go out soon so we can get a new tenant in there as quickly as possible, paying rent and offsetting the monthly losses that we currently have. On a short-term basis, though, we kind of stepped into a good situation. There was a random person walking the Harbor, and they were interested in actually renting out the Shore Casino. They're from a small company called Netflix. and they were looking to rent the property for some food services and some makeup, and it would be a great way to essentially to stop hemorrhaging the money that we're losing on a monthly basis. And so a contract is being worked on, and we expect there to be some sort of resolution there in the next coming days or weeks, and that would be for the end of September and the beginning of October. And again, it would only be 10 days. There's been ongoing litigation with Capital Construction. There looks to be a resolution with respect to the litigation one way or the other in the next couple months. There was a settlement conference held about 3 weeks ago. Judge McCarthy, who is the presiding judge in Monmouth County, encourage settlement between Kappa and the borough. And so it's either going to settle, or if it doesn't settle, there should be a trial date by the end of the year. So hopefully we can get resolution on that. There's going to be paving of the parking lots for Sissy's and On the Deck in the next couple weeks. The next couple weeks. It was originally for 9/11.
Correct.
12,
correct.
I guess it would be.
However, the date will be moving out.
It's going to be moving out.
There will be a revised date.
There will be a revised date with respect to the paving of Sissy's and On the Deck. But that's also on the horizon. And that's all I have.
Great. Thanks. Okay. You ready?
Yep. Thank you, Mayor. For the police, I want to talk about a wonderful program that the police department has gone together with 7-Eleven and Nicholas Creamery to support young people who wear their helmets, they do good deeds, they do a number of things, and they're getting free either Slurpee or an ice cream cone. And I think it's a wonderful program to be a positive influence on young people rather than being, having kids be fearful of the police. So I'm really very excited about that. Police cadets, if any teen in town is interested in becoming a police cadet, please contact Patrolman David Cunha. A full report will be at next month's meeting. Veterans Affair, we met last night, and we are doing a number of things, planning to partner with local groups in support of veterans, either giving them discounts or supporting them in different ways. We'll be working with the American Legion, Highlands VFW, and the Yacht Club. And in particular, I'm going to ask my colleague to please talk a little bit more about the Yacht Club when he does his report. Seniors, excuse me, Senior Citizens, the club will be meeting on Monday. We meet very regularly. I want to reinforce, I hope I brought it with me, that the various discounts for tax relief, it's a program that used to be individual applications. It's one application for seniors and disabled. It's due no later than October 31st. You'll get some tax relief, and I encourage people to please take care to do that. Next month, the Senior Club will be honored with the Bayshore Pharmacy giving away flu and COVID shots. So think about going to the meeting next month. And that's all I have. No reports for OEM. And that's all I have. Thank you, Mayor.
Great. Thank you. Council President Dougherty.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, everyone. I will start with Finance. The Finance Committee will be meeting with Mr. Perugina and CMFO Rick Yanos on Monday, September 8th for a mid-year budget review meeting, so that will take place. DPW recycling reminder, residents are reminded to bundle or tie all paper and cardboard when placing items out for recycling. Proper bundling ensures efficient collection and helps prevent littering. The brush and leaf pickup schedule for the fall, the final brush pickup will be taking place in October, Zone 1, October 6th, Zone 4, October 13th, Zone 2, October 20th, Zone 3, October 27th. And the leaf pickup first round begins in November, Zone 1, November 3, Zone 4, November 10, Zone 2, November 17, Zone 3, November 24. Please note the leaf and brush crews will make one pass each through the zone. Residents and landscapers are encouraged to plan accordingly to ensure materials are out in time. Borough yard access, as previously requested and done in last year, the borough yard will be open every Saturday and Sunday in November and December from 8 a.m. to 12 noon, as listed in the printed borough calendar. For additional details, please refer to the printed borough calendar or direct any questions to the DPW office. Recreation Committee was scheduled to meet on Thursday, October 21st, but did not due to quorum issues. But soccer season this year, the first games will take place this Saturday, September 6th, at Fireman's Field. We have over 160 youngsters participating this fall. Come on down on Saturday and cheer on our players. Save the date, the annual Halloween parade will be held on Saturday, October 25th. It pushes off from the marina at 1 p.m. Planning board, no report other than to say the planning board meets tomorrow, September 4th at 7 p.m. Board of Ed met on August 20th. The board heard a presentation on strategic planning from Dr. Timothy Tian of the New Jersey School Board Association. Preparations continue for the start of the new school year tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow. Our three Hudson schools reopen for the year. Best wishes for a terrific year to all our students, teachers, administrators, and staff. And finally, I've been asked by Mr. Fisher to present some additional information on EV charging stations, specifically the recent fee increases. So we, at our last meeting and what went into effect September 1st, increased two of the session fees. First, the commuter session fee increased from $10 to $12.50 per day. That's a 25% increase. The overnight charging rate increased to $1.50 an hour. That's a 50% increase, up from $1 an hour. The other rates did not change. And I have some rationale and some details in the analysis. If Mr. Fisher would like to ask about those later, I'd be happy to provide those. And he asked me to detail exactly the costs versus the grants received and what the borough the cost to the borough after incentives. So the total cost for installation from Bryan Electric was $136,807.33. We had to do a change order, so we had to have some additional work done due to a utility pole fire. So we are seeking reimbursement from JCP&L. That was an additional $10,890. We received $75,300 from two grant programs. JCP&L EV Driven gave us $51,300. New Jersey DEP gave us $24,000 for a total, as I stated, of $75,300. The total cost to the borough after incentives is $61,507.33. And finally, I'm pleased to report that the stations are utilized more and more. We got our August statistics. So in the month of August, we had 150 sessions. That is up from 124 sessions in the month of July. So they continue to be growing in popularity and utilized more frequently. So, Mayor, that's all I have.
Great. Thanks, Councilmember Forbes.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll keep this brief. The Green Team met on August 26th. They are honored to be included in Marilyn Sherpin Wild About Atlantic Highlands Garden Walk on September 13th. They will be stopping by the Olfactory Garden. Please visit Mary Trank, and Ellen Bollinger will be manning the garden that day. The only other thing for the Green Team is that the Sustainable Jersey Gold Star Program, we will be making a category selection in September, so I'll have more to report on that next time we meet. And their next meeting is September 23rd at 6 p.m. Next is the Environmental Commission. That was a fairly quiet meeting. All I have for that, because Mr. Dougherty handled EV chargers, is that our environmental resource inventory has been, all of the information that we have collected has now been digitized, and we are working on how to best present that to the general public. Their next meeting will be the 23rd as well at 7 p.m. right here at Borough Hall. Thank you very much.
Thanks. That's a really big project, and it's a huge accomplishment, so thank you to the Environmental Commission. Councilmember Pujols.
Thank you, Mayor. I have nothing for EMS or fire this meeting in the next couple of days, and I'll try something for next meeting. But in regards to the Veterans Affairs Committee, I did speak to the Atlantic Highlands Yacht Club. Rick Commodore Paul Lucy is very excited to try to get something done for the veterans. Hopefully the next Veteran Affairs, or Memorial Day or Veterans Day, the next time coming up, and maybe a dinner, a lunch invite to invite some of the local veterans to come by and enjoy the Yacht Club, and learn about the Yacht Club. Potential members, maybe discounts, a lot of this stuff, and they're more enthusiastic to get a lot of veterans to come through that, which I'm happy about.
Great, thank you. Just before we head to public comment, I have a few small things. I did attend the Ms. Race on the committee vote this year. There was an incident where, because the Catamaran Club was also having a big race, and a gentleman lost a rudder and came crashing into the committee boat. So thank you to our first responders for, we didn't need a water rescue, but we ended up being able to tow him in. So I hope Christopher's okay. There was blood. But it means there's no sharks in that part of the water too. So that was good news.
That I saw.
Great. Thank you. I just wanted to remind everyone that the Historical Society has two big events coming up in the next couple weeks. We have the dedication of the Ampederite Garden that will be on, I'm going to call November already. Jesus, not November. September 7th, I believe at 1 o'clock, which my husband's not going to be happy about because that's football Sunday. But I'll be there. And also the flea market, with our annual flea market, will be held on September 13th down in the harbor. It's a great day. I know we usually get visits from our congressman because it's like one of his favorite days of the year, but definitely there's still opportunity to participate in that. So if you're interested, please reach out to, I'm going to say Mrs. Cusick, because she's a good conduit to those folks. or me.
Thank you very much.
The Taste of Atlantic Highlands is going to be on September 21st. You can buy tickets online. I am told that they're halfway sold out, and they did sell out. Like, I bought, I think, the last ticket last year, so it's a really popular event, so please be sure to buy your tickets for that. Those bikes and helmets. We are all members of this village, this community, this borough that is Atlantic Highlands, and I am not trying to earn the votes of the young people, but when they're riding their bicycles on the sidewalk or they're riding without a helmet, we need to help our police department by saying something. They're not going to listen, but if you hear it from every one of us, you can't ride your bicycle on the sidewalk. You need to wear a helmet. I've been with the chief a million times when we're having this conversation. I see the officer in the back of the room nodding his head. Like, it's okay for us to tell the kids to put a helmet on and to not ride on the sidewalk and to ride with traffic. That's to keep them safe. I almost saw, you know, when we were turning, when you're making a turn, like, I always look again to make sure no one's coming up alongside me, especially making a right turn, because that's, they're coming to you blind. But, like, we learned how to have bike safety. We've had courses in bike safety, but we all have to remind these kids. We had a serious e-bike accident over on East Highland and Central, I believe, last month. So this is real. And, you know, that was our EMS and our police department and our fire police were wonderful responding, but we don't want to have those kind of accidents in Atlantic Highlands. And we're really working with the chief and the county on e-bikes on the trail and just bike safety in general. So help us and help us help the police and help our kids be safe. Okay. There was a mayor's meeting on Friday of Labor Day weekend at 3 o'clock in Seabright that I did attend. It was about 2 hours long. It was not just about regionalization, it was about stuff that's affecting all three towns. It was myself, Mayor Kelly of Seabright, and Mayor Breon of Highlands. Conversations are ongoing, but there's nothing happening right now. We're just keeping in communication, keeping our relationships very positive, and, you know, just kind of waiting to see what the next steps are with the Supreme Court. And finally, it looks like, I'm gonna say it right, Doug, you can cure me if I'm wrong. The DEP is requiring a water asset resource, no, WAMP, and management plan, something that has been required but has not been able to be complete until now. So that is going to affect our water rate study, because we don't want to do a, I'm not going to use the term that I want to use, but a somewhat part of the way study, and then have to do it again. So we're going to work on a timeline. We have a meeting about that on Friday so that we have all the information needed to comply with DEP, but also really the public needs to know the state of our water and sewer. And we all are drinking this water every day, the artesanal well water of Atlantic Highlands. So we are going to do that study, and we are going to then analyze the rates for our water department. We don't control the sewer department rates. That's a separate, we pay Middletown for that. So if you have any questions about your sewer, it's TOMSA that we pay. You looking at me like I'm wrong?
No.
Okay, making sure. Getting rid of the sewer department was before my time. Okay, that is everything I have.
Mayor, yes. One announcement I forgot to make. The Lions Club will be holding its pancake breakfast on the 28th of September. Encourage everyone to attend.
Pancakes. Yum. Awesome. Mrs. Smith, also after, I'm going to give you the Lillian's, the proclamation we did for Muriel, for Lillian, geez. So you have a copy. Okay, public comment. I am about to open to public comment. Mrs. Clark, would you mind reading the preamble?
The council encourages public participation and requests that all comments be addressed to the mayor. All comments should refer to topics relevant to the powers and duties of the Atlantic Highlands Borough Government. Speakers are requested to maintain proper decorum at all times during the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so when you are interested in making public comment, please raise your hand and I will call you to come to the front. Please state your name and address. Mr. Linesworth, come on down.
Josh Linesworth, 60 Days on Drive. I'd have to check, but I'm under the impression that you are allowed to ride your bike on sidewalks in New Jersey.
I guess the chief is asking against it. I think the concern on riding your bicycle on the street is the doors opening into kids. I've seen it happen, like, so close. But we'll check into...
I think you are allowed to ride your bike. Even adults are allowed to ride their bikes on the sidewalk. Certainly, children should be allowed to ride on the sidewalk.
On First Avenue?
On the sidewalk.
On the sidewalk on First Avenue. That's your opinion.
The rule, as far as I understand it, is you have to walk your bike. You're not allowed to ride in a crosswalk, period.
So the thing, people coming off the trail, come shooting out of the trail and there's all that. I think we should clarify what the actual
Thank you.
Statute is.
No, that'd be,
certainly
we will do that.
Certainly for the kids.
Yep.
Okay?
Thanks. Ma'am, come forward.
Very good.
Hi. Sorry, Mr. Leinsdorf, we have a question. We have an answer to that question. It is permissible. Oh, you can.
Under state law, it's permitted, but it's not preempted, so local ordinances can make a determination otherwise. They can prohibit it locally, which is what most towns do. I don't know whether Atlantic Highlands has such a ordinance or not, but.
But we'll look into that.
Okay.
Okay, sorry.
My name is Mary Ellen Connery, and I reside at 10 Ocean Boulevard in Atlantic Highlands.
Welcome.
Thank you. And I have the pleasure now of also being the president of the Tenants Association at 10 Ocean Boulevard. And we wanted you to know about the fact that we have put the Tenants Association together. There's 7 board members, and several of them are here with me tonight as well. And we thought you might be interested in why we formed. We've had no air conditioning all summer, and the solution to that was to deliver one small window unit to each of us so that we'd have some air conditioning. And there are other issues too. They kind of range from leaking and inoperable windows to mold to an array of issues that give new meaning to the word luxury, which is how 10 Ocean is advertised. So we thought it was really important for us to have a collective voice, but it's also really important for us, we think, to be connected to you and to support you. And as Denise Mom said, you know, what a town. And that's how we feel, but it's not what a building. So there are a couple of things we just wanted to ask. One is we had our first kind of official meeting. And we had somebody representing the water and sewer department chatting with us about the water, because our water is very persistently brown. It isn't just with flushing, but even with flushing, it persists. One thing that the gentleman suggested was when you're in a building, that the building should also be flushing their pipes as well, especially because that's at the lowest level of the building. And that's not something that they can order, but we didn't know whether or not that's anything that you can help us with in terms of reaching out to the landlord on. If not, we'll do it, but we wanted to know whether or not that's anything that you can be involved with.
So I actually, on my list of, because this is not just happening at 10 Ocean, there's other buildings that people on different floors of the building, I had multiple this last time, people come to me about this. So we have an internal conversation about what the borough's ability or responsibility could be, but we are aware of the problem, and at a minimum, we can do a PR campaign to remind building management to do that.
That would be great. Any voice helps. The other thing that we wanted to ask you about is we're trying with each of our meetings to have something that's connected to the town. And at the next meeting, there are so many different ways of coming at problems. And what's a code enforcement? What's a state? You know, what's a county? What's a borough? So we did wonder if it's possible, it would be great if we could have somebody from code enforcement just come to our meeting on September 30th. We meet at the Senior Center. And just kind of help us sort these things out as we sort through all the ways we have to approach these issues.
Oh, you're going to love him.
Okay.
What is the date of that meeting?
September 30th.
He's very fair. He is very by the book. He knows it very well, and he'll be, I'm sure, happy to attend. If not, I would wait for him to be the one to do it again, because he is very knowledgeable on this. It's our code enforcement officer is Rich Colangelo.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
So, Mr. Ferdina, can you follow up with him about that? Thank you.
And, you know, we invite you to attend our meetings. We invite you to be in touch with us if there's anything that you want to know or learn. And we'll certainly keep you apprised as our battles go forward.
Well, we're happy to hear. I'm happy to hear that there's a tenants association. The very first thing this council did when it was elected was rent control. So last year. So that's where our priorities lie. And, you know, we have a rent control board that's separate from us, so that rent leveling board that's separate from us. So, but in these positions, when it's things like that, yeah, definitely come to us and advocate for yourselves and, you know, keep us in the loop.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Harold Smith, 3160 Hollow Road, Red Bank, New Jersey, owner of Citizens in Tobo, U.S. First question is, when did the paving date change?
It changed today.
Okay. Why?
Because there's a major event in the harbor that was approved by the Harbor Commission and the Special Events Committee at the beginning of the year, and it's an annual event, and that parking is required for those events.
Right. But we were given this date and asked to close these businesses, and we've given employees off. We've made quite a sacrifice.
I'm sorry, but the decision to choose those dates was ill-advised, and it's been rectified.
Okay. The other thing with the bicycles, maybe someone looked down at the harbor. These e-bikes fly through there through the gates at 25, 30 miles an hour, and no one says a word to them.
Okay. We have representatives of the police department here, and I mean, I can tell you the chief is fixated on the e-bikes.
I can tell you, I sit in the window and watch it, and the security guards sit on their telephone, and they just fly by.
Noted. All right. Yeah, I was waiting.
Sorry.
Thank you, ma'am. Mark Fisher, 91 Third Avenue. I attended the harbor meeting last night, and the finance commissioner gave his report. He reported that the profits were down 8%, which doesn't sound too bad. But when I asked what the dollar figure was, it was $350,000. I know last month we were kind of told that, you know, the amount was $130,000 because of the issue with the leaseholder not paying. But that seems to be a pretty, $220,000 is a pretty big discrepancy over the course of a month. But just wanted everybody to know that. Thank you, Mr. Dougherty, for the EV charger report.
Yes, sir.
I think I got these numbers right. Last month, it was reported the gross intake for June was 980 and July was a little over 1,011.
Well done, sir. 980 for June.
Yeah.
1,011 for July and August, drum roll please, 1,088.
We know what the net profit is?
Not quite yet, because there's a lag for the usage and the bills go to the harbor, so I will find out.
Okay.
Yep.
The last thing is, the last meeting we were all present to celebrate the third three-year reaccreditation of the Atlantic Commons Police Department. We were also told that the borough was in contract negotiations with the PBA and the two other unions in that meeting. Back in 2021, when the dispatcher plan was being discussed, I put together a spreadsheet of the approximate cost savings versus keeping dispatch local versus out at the county of Freehold. I did a five-year cost savings spreadsheet, which I have copies of for the board. If you adjust the numbers for 4 years, the dispatchers local, if they were kept local with the Premier app, which the county uses called Spillman, plus new radio purchases that would have been required, the cost would have been $1.7 million to the taxpayers over 4 years. The second option was to keep the dispatchers and use a cheaper version of the dispatch app. I don't even know the name of it, but it was about $200,000 less money. That would have cost $1.45 million over 4 years. The last option is the one that the borough took after much discussion, and that was to move dispatch out to county. And over 4 years, it would cost the borough $560. And built into that was the cost of new radios and, of course, in two of the scenarios, the benefits and salaries for the dispatchers. So we went with the last option, which was to go to county. Now, in those numbers that I reported, I built in a 2% cost of living increase each year. However, in 2022, cost of living was 5.9%. In 23, and these are numbers from the Social Security Department, 2023 was 8.7, 2024 was 3.2, and 2025 so far is 2.5. So that's an average of 5.1% annually. Now, we saved a whole lot of money moving our dispatch out to county, to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars. I know the three unions have negotiations going on with the borough, but I think it's time, with all the sacrifice that our borough employees make for the citizens, it's time to give them a good raise. And I know this is all negotiation, but if the starting point is 2 to 5%, it's way too low. It should be much higher. It's time to pay back our employees. And it's also a good recruitment and retention step to increase the money a little bit more. So that's my opinion.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I have copies of this if anybody wants to look at it.
Thanks.
I think I gave it to you 2 years ago. Thank you.
Sir?
Good evening. Paul Barbado. 22, Lori Rose, lousy Rose, and really bad work. First of all, with the bikes, just out of curiosity, we have no sidewalks on Lori Rose. So what happens with the bicycles? Just curious to know.
They ride in the road.
Well, you just said you can't.
No, I didn't. No, that's not what I said.
Oh, okay. Well, we have no sidewalks to begin with.
As do many of the streets in Atlantic Highlands not have sidewalks.
I'm here, the other thing besides the road, what's happening with the wall, Great Wall, from the bridge all the way to East Highland? We don't hear too much about that.
Mr. O'Meara, is there any update on that right now? Or do you want to bring that to the next council meeting?
So if you're referring to the county wall, the information they provided us was that's contingent upon available funding.
Yeah, well, I've been here 25 years. We've been here 25 years. And how many more years are they going to take to do anything?
That's a question for the county.
Oh, it's a question. Can you invite somebody from the county to come and talk to us to let us know what's going on? That the place is really. I mean, I don't know if anybody's been riding through there, but I personally, and all my family, we don't go to East Highland. We don't go that way because we're afraid that there's a chunk of concrete that's going to be coming down. And if it has, they used to have the borders. I don't know, they took the borders away.
We'll look into it in conjunction with the paving that's happening.
And there's a house that's been for sale for, I don't know, for a very long time. They had a sign, they took the sign down, and they put the sign back, took the sign down, now it's back. I don't know if they're having a problem selling that house because it's right next to the wall, basically. Anyway, now back to me. I've been in communique with, Mr. Rollmeyer, they came 3 weeks ago to do a little stipend of the road because we're getting called the volume of this ward. And it's going on for many years. And another thing is, I gave a report back to previous engineering firms because since we've been here, 5 engineering firms have been with the borough. That was Birdsaw. I gave them, I hired contractors to do an assessment with contractors and engineers to say how this road should have been put in. Because I put in 4 or 5 offers to find out how the road was supposed to be spec'd when they put it in. Because all they did was go over the dirt. There's no plans You can't find the things, they're in the archives.
Mr. Barbado, I don't want you to waste your time. Just, is there anything new?
Yes. Question is, I would like Mr. Rohmeier to send me, and I gave everybody last year or the year before, a copy of that proposal from that contractor and engineer. I never got an answer, okay? I also sent it to the county, and I'm awaiting an answer.
So, as you know, county has said that they have no role here, and you've had the same answer from us. This is a private property matter.
I'm waiting for a written, because everybody says something, but it's not in writing.
I'm not saying anything different than I've ever said.
Okay. No, not you, but you're telling me the county is going to put something in writing to me. I didn't receive it yet.
I don't know that the county's putting anything in writing to you. I just know that they have said that this is not in their jurisdiction.
Well, who did you talk to?
I haven't talked to anybody. I talked to my engineer.
Oh, well, you're saying the county...
Did you receive a communication from Mr. Rohmeier today?
I didn't get it.
You did. You did. I'm telling you.
Something, but maybe I didn't get it.
You, well, I don't get your emails because you spell my name wrong in them. And then Mr. Ferragina has. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes. I'm giving you a straight answer. The borough's position on this is unchanged.
And I'll see you in the next meeting. And I.
Good evening, Mark Spicer, 6 Victorian Woods Drive. I just wanted to bring happy news to the council tonight.
We love happy news.
Yeah, I figured. It's in USA Today. It's titled, "The Government Says Her Lawn is Unsightly. She's Fighting to Keep It That Way." It's a great read. It's pretty much about a lot of what everyone up here is already aware of based on the work that you guys did late last year, early this year. I highly recommend reading it. I think it'll make you feel really good about the decisions that you've been making and ways that you guys can kind of push the good decisions that you've been making forward in the future, and know that there are a lot of other towns in the country kind of doing this. And it's nice to know that a town is being so supportive of it. So I just want to bring that to your attention. It's USA Today, came out today. The government says her lawn is unsightly. She's fighting to keep it that way.
Perfect.
Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to talk about is if there were a building in town that was leaking like dangerous chemicals into the harbor, is that something that would be brought to the public's attention right away?
In the harbor?
If a building was leaking into the harbor.
If a building is leaking into the harbor and the harbor's aware of it, I'm not aware of it.
But if this body did become aware of it, it would be brought to the public for the environmental
commission? I think what they'd be doing is trying to remediate it. It's a
DEP. Open a case number, and it would become a publicly known area of contamination if there was an issue.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Did anyone see the person dancing at the public event in Cranford?
Yes.
I think that'd be nice if someone just
did. I nominate you, Councilman.
So I think it would be nice to see if a resident would dance for the public comment. I think it would make me happy.
Is that what that was that got sent to us?
Yeah, in Cranford, one of the people used their time for public comment to do a little bit of a dance.
Was it an interpretive dance? Was it
called expression?
I think it's the robot.
Yeah, it was the robot, yeah.
It was the robot?
Yeah.
I don't know. Mr. Krause, do you want to come do a dance for public comment?
I don't know. Muriel hasn't come up yet.
Yeah, Muriel.
I know.
Good enough, Muriel.
Okay.
I've got high expectations, Muriel. I've got high expectations.
Is there anybody online to put their hand up? Anybody else here? You guys want to go home? All right. I have a motion to adjourn.
Deputy moves.
Oh, 7 seconds.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. No dancing.